Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 11 March 2024. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us. And you're in for a, I think, a treat tonight. I do. We're going to talk to a Baptist preacher. We're going to discuss something of him that most Baptists won't even talk about. They're scared to death of it. We'll discuss just a minute, though, so hang in a minute. We're going to try to have Bible study this weekend, Lord willing. We're going to have Bible study starting at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. You can join us live by going to our website, PastorButch.com, and clicking on Rumble. Right on just down on the page, you'll see a great big red letters, Rumble. Click on there, and they will be at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. As always, the first half hour is open to prayer requests and testimonies. From 10:30, 11, 11:30, 12:30, we do Christian worldview news, which scares churches to death to understand what's happening in the world. And the lesson that we're going to continue, we started on last time, is America in the Bible. And she's all through the Bible. United States, USA is prophesied all through the scriptures, folks. We'll get that in the second hour of that. We're probably going to take 3 hours to finish it, but we'll get the second hour done. Hopefully it's coming weekend. Join us if you can, please. Just go to PastorBush.com and click on Rumble at 10:30 a.m. Now, if you don't have computers, you can listen to us on the phone at 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. We want you to join us, folks. I really mean that. And I want to thank you all that have called and said you tune in for the first time. Last week or whatever, I just want to thank you all for doing that. And I appreciate you so much. I truly do. And we're offering a book that goes along with the lesson entitled The New Jerusalem is Not the Old Jerusalem. It's available at $10, folks. It's just a donation cover postage. And a copy, if you want a copy of the outline we're doing this lesson from, you can get that also for a few bucks. Just pay postage. All we're asking. $5 or $6 postage is getting to be so expensive. We're trying to cover postage. $15 for both of them if you want the outline we're using and the book, New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, not the Old Jerusalem. I hope you'll get it, and I hope that you'll feel free to share with your friends. And somebody emailed me a couple, 3 weeks ago or longer, wanted a copy of her theme song. Well, I sent the email to our producer, Phil Hudock, who intended to send that out, and he lost the email. So if you listen tonight and you email me, wanted a copy of her theme song, This Is War, please email me again. We lost your contact, and I'm so sorry. Please email me one more time and say, I want a copy of the theme song. This is so-and-so. I'll get the feel. Maybe this time we'll get it up to you, all right? Prayer request tonight I got from a listener. James in Tennessee has a rare blood disorder. He's very ill. A strong Christian gentleman tries to share the gospel with people all the time. He and his wife, Gwen, both need your prayers. But let's pray our Father in heaven. By his divine grace and mercy, will touch James and heal his body and give both Gwen and he both strength to get through this and work together for the glory of God. Folks, it's a prayer request given to you, prayer warriors. James, please pray for his healing and for strengthening Gwen, his helpmate, to get through this together, okay? That's very, very important. Please do that. So now we're going to move on. Our guest tonight, I was introduced to by Mark Van Hoos. When I read his book entitled Talk About the Early Formation of This Earth Before the Flood, I saw this man's name in it, Pastor Greg Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. And I called and talked to Mark. I said, is there any way I can get in touch with him? It just so happened that he was sitting beside Pastor Greg. That was the divine providence of the Word of God, of the mercy of God and the grace of God that this happened. He was sitting right beside him. So Mark gave him his phone. I got to talk to Pastor Greg. Now, I'm not going to get into all the bio about this gentleman, but I will tell you that he's got a full plate. His wife is ill. He's taking care of grandchildren, and he's pastoring and writing and doing radio shows. He's a very busy individual, and he's even older than I am, which you know that's ancient. So anyway, Pastor Greg, are you there?
I'm right here, sir.
It's good to have you, my friend. I do mean that. I hope you don't mind me picking on you. I always enjoy getting a laugh. I like to laugh. I really do.
I do, too. So you're in good company, my friend. It's a good medicine, and I don't understand why people don't do more of it. So carry on.
Hey, thank you. I mean, a merry heart worth good like a medicine, and I try to enjoy my life. I don't care what the world throws at me. I don't care what Satan has in store. I'm still a son of the living God. And I intend to show that. I intend to show that in what I do, what I believe, how I act, and my demeanor should reflect that, and that's a fact. But anyway, tell the folks about Pastor Greg Patton. Tell them who you are, a little bit about you, your background. Just let's know who you are and information that you might want to share with the audience tonight.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that, Pastor. I had a whole life in radio and television, starting at age 12, and had a strong desire to be a big-time disc jockey. That came into fruition. In 1973, I became the number one disc jockey at the number one FM station in America, WNAP, Indianapolis, Indiana. We were riding high at that particular time, and things going well, and I started to get my dream come true, if you will. And then a teenager. I just had been rated number one. This was October of 73, a teenager. 16-year-old Kevin Mitchell invited me to a Baptist church. And I didn't particularly want to go to a Baptist church. I didn't want to go to any church. But I liked this kid. he seemed sincere and said, would you go? And I thought, yeah, I'll go. And my wife, boy, she was shocked one day that we were going to go. I had all kinds of problems, Pastor. I smoked four packs of cigarettes a day. I drank heavily. I was a womanizer. I was pretty good at cussing. I could barely say a couple of sentences without that.
Hang on a second. You were 16 years old?
No, that was the kid that invited me to church. Kevin
Mitchell,
got 16.
You. Okay. Yep. My 16 years old, you're getting on it pretty fast. Go ahead.
I was 27, but I went to this church, and it was okay. It was typical fundamental KJV Baptist church, and I had my long hair. My wife did professional modeling, and so we pulled up in our Corvette and went into this church, and everybody was really nice. I was just surprised how nice they were, and they said they were going to have a New Year's Eve party there, and I thought, really? I've been to a few of those, and I wonder how the Baptists do it. And so I had it in my mind. I was going to go to that New Year's Eve party at that Baptist church, which I did go, by the way. And as a result of that, it just stirred me. Oh, the Holy Spirit was wooing. I didn't know what was going on. I tell people probably the biggest problem, one of the biggest demons in the church today is pride. And I can prove that in more ways than one. But I had a great pride problem. And that night, for whatever reason, Kevin invited 15 teenagers that were fans, and my name was General Billy Patton at the time, invited all these kids to church. And I thought, oh, no. I'm not sure why I'm here. These kids are confusing, a spiritual event here, if you will. And we all sit in the back row, and I was the middle of all of them. And I'd say Satan will do whatever he can to keep you from getting saved. He'll do whatever he can to keep you from serving as you should. And so that night at the invitation, come up to the midnight hour, and he just, I'm wondering, we're getting ready to go into 1974. Wouldn't it be nice? You're here and you're not sure about heaven to move into 1974, what the Bible describes as a new creature in Christ, realizing that your past has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. And I thought, boy, that's great. If that were true, that would be fantastic. These people believe it. I didn't, but these people believe it. And the more I thought about it, I said, wow, that would be great. And make a long story short, the invitation came, and they did their typical 50 stanzas of Just As I Am. And he said that anybody here at all would like me to pray and not sure about heaven. And I wanted to do it, but I thought these kids are going to be looking around, and they could see General Billy Patton maybe raise his hand. So I said, I just want to get out of here. I want to go home and think about what he said in the privacy of my own home and make some sort of decision. That was what I was going to do. And he kept pushing. And he said, no one here at all at least acknowledge that you're lost tonight. And so I put my hand up what I call half staff. I didn't put it up all the way. It was about shoulder length, and I was in the back row. And he didn't recognize it. I thought, oh, good grief, this Southern boy. He was a heavy-set Southerner, Myron Young. He went to Moody Bible Institute, bless his heart. And he said, so we're going to close if no one. And so I waved at him then at half staff, and he still didn't see it. And I thought, this guy is blind. And so finally, I just shot my hand up, and what does he do? I see that hand, young man. And I thought, oh, no, I'm the only one in this building, and he's just picked me out now. And I still have the same thought. I want to get out of here. I admitted I was lost. I want to get out of here. And he said, you know what you need to do? We've got lots of gentlemen here, and there's one that would like to show you how to be saved. And so, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm dressed to the hilt. I'm the hero here. I'm not going to show weakness that I need God, although I knew I did. Again, here we go. The thing continued on, and finally I just thought, okay, if they can show me, I guess I'm ready for this. So I stepped out. Those kids are all making way for me to move down the aisle. I'm thinking, you know, what they're thinking, General Billy Patton has gone forward to get saved in this little Baptist church. But at some point, that doesn't matter anymore, I guess. And that's the way it was for me. And this young man was a Tennessee Temple student at the time. Rollin Smith was his name. He took me in the pastor's office, and he got the typical for me that so many of us do. Do I have to stop smoking? Should I cut my hair? Well, I have to dress differently. I mean, and he kept getting right back to the Romans Road. He walked down through the Romans Road, did a really good job. And he said, we're going to talk about all of that, sir, when we're done here. But I just want to get back to this thing of heaven and knowing how to get there. And so he did a great job and finished up with Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And with the heart, you know, man believes, with the mouth, profession is made. And he said, you know, do you want to pray? He said, let's get down on our knees right here. So we did. And I thought, well, this is weird. And he said, do you want to pray or do you want me to pray? And then you just echo my thoughts. And I thought, you have no idea who I am. I have 144,000 young people between 12 and 18 that religiously listen to me every night on rock radio. I can certainly talk. I've been doing it for a long time. And there's that pride again. It never leaves before you're saved. It's pretty hard after you're saved. So I told him, I said, I think I can do this, sir. And he said, okay, I'll just agree with you then. And I started out, Pastor, and I just said, God or Father, I'm not sure which I said. And I just stopped cold. And I started to cry. My dad told me no man cries unless he's hit over the head by a tube of four. A man does not cry. And I'm crying. I'm thinking, what is happening to me? Why am I even in this church? Why am I in this office talking about God and heaven? I mean, all kinds of thoughts streaming into my mind. And I thought, I can't do this. You pray, and I'll echo your word just like you said. And he did. And I'm sure that I was saved 50 years ago just the same as anyone who said the prayer themselves. I know that night my life was changed forever, and I trusted Christ as Savior. My wife came. Well, we both drove Corvettes, and she was an intravenous nurse at a hospital in St. Vincent's nearby, and she had to work till midnight. she got there and she saw the car out there but didn't see me, and she thought, oh, he's done it. He's out running around, said he was going to go to church. Somebody's picked him up here at church, and he's going. And they said, no, your husband's back there with one of our men. They opened the door, this guy did, and all the church people are all like sardines out there in the foyer area. And they said, do you want to tell your wife and this audience what you just did, Greg? And I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. I told my wife, I said, I just got saved. And, my goodness. Everything changed, brother. And
what was her response, brother? What was her response?
Well, her response, you know, I was pretty tricky in so many things in life. And I think many people, knowing me as I did, and all of a sudden, in no time at all, I'm claiming to be a Christian now, and my whole life is going to change. So she was suspect, to say the least. If it was real, she was happy, but she was suspect that this isn't going to last. He does a lot of things, you know, like this. And I understand that. You know, I really did at the time. And so, but as I...
Well,
I got
to,
my
make it,
haircut,
to make it short, you were a showman. I mean, that's what you did.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. When I was the top DJ in Indianapolis, David Letterman, he used to be on the night show on CBS. He was the weatherman there in Indianapolis. And my goal was to get to New York or California and be a TV, Johnny Carson type. That's what I wanted to do. I was a showman. And but that all crashed and burned. So I got my hair cut. I stopped drinking. I had a big bar in the basement of our huge home out there in the Acton area. Poured all the booze down the drain. I had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of rock albums at the time, and 45s, et cetera, were very popular back in the 70s. And I did a bonfire. That thing was probably nearly my height, and I'm nearly 6 feet tall. And I poured gas on that and set those all on fire. So I know that I got the real thing and that I was serious about this new relationship with Christ. We were later contacted by Unshackled out of Chicago, Illinois. And I think my life story now has gone around the world at least four times. And that's pretty exciting. I got to play myself.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? I think we lost him. Okay, you'll have to call him back. Interesting testimony, to say the least. Now, folks, we ain't got the good part yet, so hang in there. We're calling back, getting back online. I don't think Satan wants his program to go out of the air. I really don't. I mean, this is what our righteous and holy Father can do, our God can do, if we ask in the name of Jesus. This is what he can do. His grace is sufficient, folks, every one of us. Every one of us. So let's get our brother back on. Are you back with us, Greg?
I'm with you. I'm sorry. He just went blank there on me. I'm not sure what happened. So
well, I just tell people this testimony
to share.
This testimony's good. Satan don't want it out there. But go ahead.
Say that again, brother. I'm sorry.
I say this testimony's so good that Satan doesn't want it out there.
Oh, he doesn't. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And yet we continue to tell it, and God continues to bless in a special way. So, which is really to me very, very exciting. I used to be very, very proud, and proud of the fact that I was proud. And as I've gotten older, I'm 77 now, as I've gotten older and seen God work, I wished I would have responded to my salvation experience much earlier. But a lot of that only comes, I think, with age and maturity and experience of life. That, hey, I tell people, and you mentioned about sickness and things, and that you're going to serve God no matter what. I have a line that I consistently use, God gave me about 2 years ago, and that is, no matter what state you're in, and it might be very bad, it might be very good, it could be in between, which is where we are most of the time, but whatever state you're in, you need to ask this question, how can I best glorify God in this situation? And I try to live that, and he has honored that in an unusual way. And we continue, we're going to talk.
I've got to ask, what about your wife? I mean, this had to shock her completely. What happened?
Here was the story of my wife. She used to go to a Lutheran church. The family were Lutherans. And she went to a Lutheran school. And at 14, they had a visiting teacher. And the visiting teacher took the whole hour of the class that she was in to talk about salvation. And she went home, got on her knees there in her bedroom, and trusted Christ as Savior. But just like we talk about people who are getting delivered in the spirit world and have demonic problems and are getting a victory, you can't let that thing go. You've got to be discipled. And certainly, as a new Christian, you've got to have somebody around you to show you, and you got to be in a good church. And none of that happened, and she quickly fell back. And one day, we'd been out speaking, Pastor, to different churches. I was giving my testimony. She'd give a little bit of hers. But one day on the kitchen table there, she said, "I'm really troubled, honey." And I said, "About what?" "I'm not sure about salvation." I said, "What do you mean you're not sure?" I said, "I gave my testimony. You know, when I got saved, you said you were saved at 14 at Lutheran school. What's the problem?" She said, "I'm not sure I'm saved." And the devil,
By the way, that takes courage. That takes courage.
Oh,
go ahead.
No question about it. But we were trying to build a life. We were going to build a life just based upon what we wanted. She was the model. I was the star. We drove Corvettes. We lived in a 5-bedroom home. I mean, this was going to be just her and I right after I got saved. And obviously, she went along with it. I said, "I want to have a bunch of kids. I really want to have a bunch of kids." And so, again, I just know that everything was real and changed. But let's go back to Sharon here. I didn't know what to do, preacher. I was just new in my faith. What do you do when somebody says they're not sure they're saved after they told you they were? I called my preacher, Dr. James Bachman, right away. I said, "Preacher, can you get over here? We got a big problem, and I'm serious." And he was there in no time. And he said, "What's going on with you two?" And I said, "It's my wife." I said, "She's saying, you know, you've heard our testimony in your church, and I'm embarrassed. But she says she doesn't know she's saved, and I don't know what to do about it. How do you not know you're saved?" And so he said, "Okay, let's go through this." And he said, "Sharon, now you know about salvation." She said, "Absolutely. You know how to be saved. You have to ask God for forgiveness of your sins, and you invite Jesus Christ in. You know that?" "Yes." "Well, I don't know then. I don't know what I'm supposed to do." He said, "Do you know that? I'm asking that." I said, "Yes." "Well, then let's put the devil to flight. If it didn't happen back there at 14, we're going to do it right now. Do you have any problem with that?" And she said, "No." And so we just bowed our heads, and Pastor prayed, and she prayed, and accepted Christ into her heart. If it didn't happen at 14, it happened now. I said, "We got done." He said, "Now take that Bible right there. Take your Bible, and I want you to write the time and the date here." And we looked up at the clock. It's like 3:01 in the afternoon. "We'll just put that down there. So when the devil comes again and tells you that you're not saved, and it hasn't happened, just show him that date." And I can tell you, preacher, to this date now, all these years, she's never had another problem with that. And
amen.
So, and we have gone on then instantly. I just believe that God would have us to get into the ministry. And so we've been at it now so many years, 10 years in evangelism, and I've been 36 years in the church that I started way back in 1988, I guess it was. And we're still serving there today. So, yeah, it's been quite a time. It's been thrilling. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share it.
Well, I'm excited to have you on because we're going to get into some really good stuff here, folks. I mean, this is, I don't know how to begin this. I was a Baptist preacher, like I said, Free Will Baptist for many years, and several years, two different churches at one time. And most Baptist churches are scared to death of two things, the Holy Ghost and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost scares them because somebody gets excited. And the devil, because they're afraid that they might be real. Now I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So you started into something. I want you to tell us how you get started down the pathway of taking on the devils. What happened?
And I didn't want to do that. I don't think anyone listening in their right mind wants to take on the devil or even talk about demons. Let's get real here for a moment. And I was doing very well in evangelism. We traveled all over the country, all over the world. We had great meetings. The altars filled every night, sometimes 2-week meetings, 3-week meetings, 4-week meetings. It was the thing to have Greg Patton come and share. And so I was on top of the world. I said, "This is great. This is just my life. This is what I want." Be able to travel around all over the country, be a week here, be a few days there, be a couple weeks there, move on to another part of the country, everything going fine. And then we had once a year in January, we would have a party for our church because they supported us. We were a staff evangelist out of Roanoke Baptist Church, so we invited the whole church, and Sharon and I put on the food bag and games and whatever out at our farmhouse. And it was just a great time for people to come and enjoy the fellowship. And we just thanked them for a year of support. And so we were pretty well getting ready to do things. Pastor had not yet arrived to the house. He was coming. And so we were just holding things up. And I got a call. And it was from the head deacon's son. And he sounded really scared. My immediate thought was, "Pastor's been in a wreck or something. Something horrible's happened. That's why he's not here." and your mind starts going every which direction. I said, Mike, what's the matter with you? He said, I don't know, Greg. He said, some woman called here, and I was talking to her, sounded like a young gal, and she was asking for the pastor, and I said, he's not here. And then all of a sudden, this thing, this voice came on, and really hostile, and started cussing, and told me to hang up the phone. He said, I've never heard anything like this in my life, Greg, and I am scared. I got to tell you that. And I said, so what happened here? He said, well, what should I do? He said, pastor's not here. I said, he was on his way to your house. I said, yes, and what did you tell this person? And he said, I gave him your phone number.
Oh.
I said, you did what? Isn't that something? Here I am, a preacher, and just the very thought of it scared me. I nearly wet my pants. And I thought, why would you give her my number, you know? And all of a sudden, I'm not that great evangelist, that preacher, that I'll help you no matter what type guy. We're talking some serious stuff here now, and I don't want to talk to anybody like it. I really start praying that the pastor would get there and that the phone would not ring. And so it wasn't very long at all. The phone rang, and I just started shaking. I mean, I'm about to be confronted by something. This doesn't happen. And so I answered, and it was okay. It was a gal. She was at the Fort Wayne International Airport here, and she was just flying through. She came to Fort Wayne for a funeral, and she just was talking. And so I'm starting to relax just a little bit here, and I'm not so upset. And then it happened to me. This thing came on the phone and started in on me, and that I should not be talking to this person. And I had no idea. I thought, could this be a game? Could somebody be acting here, and they're trying to scare me or whatever? I mean, I had all kinds of thoughts, but it seemed so real. It really seemed real. And next thing I know, she was gone. And I thought, oh, wow. And preacher came, and I said, hey, preacher, I don't know what I got into here, but Mike over at your church and me, we've been confronted by something, and he didn't have much experience in it. He really didn't know anything, and he is a great soul winner. I mean, he's won thousands of people to Christ. He is Mr. Down the Line. He's taught me so much. He said, Greg, I really can't help you because I've never been taught this. I've never worked too much with this. I know it's real. And he said, so you're kind of, I guess, on your own here. And I thought, well, maybe it's all over. Maybe I'll never hear from her again. The time it took her to leave the Fort Wayne International Airport and get way down south, 700 miles away, the phone rang. And it was her. And she wanted help. And she was crying out, begging for help. And in came this voice again. And boy, talk about confusion. Satan is the author of confusion, and I was really confused. And so that started an unbelievable year-long event of me trying to help a girl I didn't even know. We didn't have cell phones at that time. We had our phones.
Hang on to the break. Hey, don't lose that thought, folks. I told you it's going to get gooder and gooder. I have to break a lot more talk about and your phone call next half hour, as always.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the man of foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive.
With organic ingredients and no fillers, made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing.
Again tonight, folks, our theme song, been our theme song for 31 years now this month, fits this topic to the T. We're at war here, in a war that we can't even see the actual military, I guess, the opposing side, because they're spiritual. We see the results of it. We see the physical manifestation of these things, of all these issues, but we can't see the enemy directly. But our brother Greg Patton today, a Baptist preacher, confronted something he never confronted before, as I did in the past. And I got to admit, it was a little bit eerie to me at first. Then I started realizing that my God is greater than any devil, including Satan himself. And I needn't fear what this enemy can do to me. I'm in my Father's hands. But nonetheless, our brother went through this with this young lady. Go ahead and finish your story, brother.
Absolutely. And what had happened was, we spent a year together. And that first month, preacher, that I was called, she called me collect every day. And my, oh my, I had no idea what was happening here. I just believed God wanted me to do it. I didn't know who she was. I just wanted to help her. And so the first month, got the phone bill from Ma Bell, and my phone bill was $1,000 in 30 days.
Oh, wow.
And I was just sick to my stomach. My wife said, "What are we doing, Greg?" I said, "Honey, I don't know." I said, "I believe God wants me to do this." But I said, "Yeah, this is really upsetting." We didn't have $100 in the bank. And I remember that night, I was so upset. We had 500 acres around us. It was a snowy night, and I just walked out and put my coat on, walked out into the field and through the fresh snow,
And I just had a talk with God. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so confused. I know that you know, but I desperately need help here. Lord, I had the phone bill in my hand. I just put it up toward the sky, and I said, hey, basically, this is your responsibility. I believe I'm doing what you want me to do. This is a $1,000 bill. I would never dream anything like this could happen to me, and nobody can help me. I'm totally at a loss here. No preacher's helping me. And it was interesting, preacher. I'm sure you've had this experience, others listening to the program. All of a sudden, an unusual unusual peace came over me. And I don't know, why would that be? I'm complaining to God, and he just seems to let me know this is okay, and I'm taking care of it. And I was satisfied with that. As new as I was in the faith, I was satisfied. I turned around, walked back to the farmhouse, and told my wife, it's okay. She said, who did you meet out there? And I said, well, I met with the Lord, and somehow he told me how. And I said, I don't know, sweetheart, I don't know. The next night, Baptist Church from Bern, Indiana, and seven deacons, the preacher, Doug Rogers, and his deacons all came up and said, hey, we don't know what you're doing. We don't know what you're into. None of us know anything about spiritual warfare or dealing with demons. We trust you. I did several revivals at their church every year. So they believed in me, even though they didn't know any more than I did. And they said, you know, we just want to come up and pray with you, stay with you as long as you want, whatever you think we could do for you. And they handed me an envelope. I laid it there beside the chair as I was talking to them. I said, I just appreciate you guys coming. I said, just pray that God would give me wisdom because I don't know what I'm into, and nobody seems to be able to help. My preacher doesn't. You know my preacher. He's a good Baptist preacher. Doug, you don't know. You went to Pensacola, and you know your Bible better than me, and I don't know what's happening, brother. So just pray. And they said, okay. And they said, you know what? We're about an hour. And they said, I guess we better get back down. And they said, before we go, would you open that envelope? And I said, well, yeah, I assumed that there was, you know, some money in it or something, but I've never opened an envelope in front of anyone. Just it seems embarrassing or humbling, or I don't know what word is proper there. So I opened that thing up, and I always ask the audience at this point, what do you think was in that envelope? There was a check from that church for $1,000. They had
what a coincidence, huh?
Yeah, what a coincidence. And they were saving that money and for a piano, and they had voted the night before in Sunday night service to give that money to me unanimously. They voted to give the money, all of it, to me. And, boy, I had such confidence instantly. I knew I was on the right track. But I didn't know about this topic. They never taught me at Bible school. They never taught me at Bob Jones. Nobody could help me. I went to a Pentecostal preacher here in Fort Wayne. He had a church of 3,000, and I divorced myself from about everyone that wasn't Baptist. And there's some strange things there about the Pentecostals, I thought. But you know what? It's interesting. When you're in trouble, it's amazing what you will do. And I was in the deepest trouble I have been since I was saved. And I called this brother. I knew he could give me some help, and I was so shocked when he told me he could not help me. I said, you're telling me in your church with all the people you have and the speakers you have, nobody has ever dealt with demons? And he said, no, I have no idea. Alex McFarland interviewed me a few weeks ago down at the NRB, and he's got a huge audience across America. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to really promote your book, Brother Greg, because I have never in my lifetime heard a pastor speak on spiritual warfare. And I was thinking before I interviewed you, isn't that sad? Who is this guy that's going to speak on spiritual warfare that I've never heard of? And why would he do that? And I thought, isn't that sad? And you've already discussed it. Why is that? We need to hear about this. Absolutely. This is your greatest enemy you will ever face on this earth. And we know very little about him and his minions and what they can do. And I read 119 books, almost one right after another. This back to this Pentecostal preacher, he said, you know what? We had a guy here that is from Kentucky, and I think he's done a little bit in this demonic thing. Could I give you his number? And really, I'd like to help you, Greg, but I can't. And so he gave me the number, and I thought, I'm desperate. anybody help me. Just tell me what, how to handle this or what to do next. Just get me started. That's all I wanted to know, and that's what people want to know today. We had a conference down in Bristol, Virginia over the weekend, and our book sold out twice. Sold out Friday, turned right around, sold out Saturday. People want to know their enemy. And you're going to see more and more demonic activity in the days ahead. I believe Christ is coming soon. I think things are going to be unleashed at a rate you have never seen before.
I agree.
And Christians had better be ready to know their enemy. Here's what happened, and this was I just got to throw this in because it meant so much to me. It may not to your audience, but I think I can get this across. I called this guy, and it was a national known evangelist in Pentecostal circles, and he had a whole team there answering phones for prayer requests. And the gal said, you know, you're fortunate. He's normally not here at this time, but he's on the phone with someone else. How about you and I talk a little bit, and when he gets done, I'll have him go over and take the phone. And I said, oh, some relief. At least I'm going to get to talk to him. And so I talked to this gal for a little bit. Said, wait, he's done. Here he is. And she calls out his name, and he comes over and gets on the phone. And what can I do for you, sir? And I told him my whole thing. And I said, I just need some advice, and I need some help. And I was just shocked and upset all over again when he said, I can't help you. And I thought, oh, for pity's sakes, why is it nobody can help me? And he's nationally known. If I mentioned his name, probably everybody listening would have at least have heard of him. So anyway, he said, can I just give you something here that I think will help you, Greg? I said, whatever. Just, yeah, I'm ready for anything. He said, just take a little trip. Close your eyes. Take a little trip with me. I said, okay. He said, let's go over to the river. I said, all right. He said, I want you to step down into the river. Can you sense that? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, the water's up about your ankles. He said, I want you to start walking across the river. Okay. He said, now the water's now up to your waist, and the current's getting there. He said, and now the water is up to your chest. Can you feel that? I said, yes, sir. And he took me all the way through. He said, you're about halfway across right now, and that water is at your chin, and you're going to wonder, is it going to take me? What's the next step going to bring? You don't look back. You keep looking the other side, and you keep on walking, sir. You got that? I said, yes, sir. He said, so you're going to walk, and you might even have to get on your tippy toes. But he said, next thing you're going to know, that water is down to your shoulders, and then it's down to your waist, and then it's down to your ankles, and you've reached the other side, and you climb out. And he said, I'll tell you what's going to happen, Greg. You're going to climb out, and you're going to look back at that river, and you're going to thank God for that experience that you've been through. I told the audience over the weekend, I said, I'm so grateful for my salvation experience back in 1973. But the second greatest thing that ever happened to me was this demonic attack. And as a result of that, I have helped hundreds of people all over the world. I've helped pastors, their wives, their children. I have helped missionaries, their wives, their children. I've helped so many. One famous evangelist who has led millions of Muslims to Christ nearly died in my presence by a self-inflicted gunshot wound that never happened. And it all happened because I dealt with him and a demonic problem that he had. And that's just one of dozens and dozens of stories that I could tell. But I go back to that. That seems so simple, walking across the river. And, sometimes feel in life as a Christian you're going to be consumed by the floods of the water around you. You keep your focus on Jesus Christ. I tell people about the demons. They don't go to seed on demons. You just keep your focus on Jesus Christ and glance at the enemy now and then. That's how you win in this war. And I have been able to prove God over and over again in these last many years. I've been at this 40 years. My colleague and I are going to start doing national seminars, one-day seminars on Saturdays across America. He's been at it 40 years. Combined, we have 80 years working in spiritual warfare, and neither one of us are novices. We're both 77 years old, but I'll tell you what, audiences come, and they listen very carefully to what we have to say.
Amen.
Because we have no other... Luke 4:18, it's not for the money, it's not for the acclaim. I've had all of that. God allowed me to get that all out of my system before I was ever 27 years old. I've been a news anchor man where I've had up to 500,000 people watch me do the news. I don't need any accolades, but I have a desperate desire to help people in this area of the demonic. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. Our churches have a lot of brokenhearted people there. And a lot of people, whether they know it or not,
have demonic problems, and the sad part is pastors have no idea how to help them.
That's very true.
I think that is so very, very sad. I believe that they're going to be held accountable because not knowing how to deal with the spirit world, they sometimes question their very salvation, okay? And that, to me, that's a crime. And the other thing is many pastors will link it somehow to maybe mental illness and that they need some help along those lines. And come on now. Just help the people. I start out all of my messages everywhere I ever go called Name Your Sin. And I just go down through a number of things that could be a sin in your life that can lead to control or demonic bondage. But when it comes to this thing,
I don't want to, I mean, we're running out of time. We've got about 14 minutes left. We've got calls coming in. But I want to ask you this one. I want you on again. We can't cover all this one night. But tell us about the fact that you were in a house. Very quickly, and the house started shaking.
Yeah, that was, this spirit named Abaddon, he was so very powerful. At one time, I was arguing with him. Of course, I'd have my notes there, and I had verses lined up, and I was reminding him that he and his leader, Satan, were defeated at Calvary. And without hesitation, he shot back boldly and very clearly, "You need not remind me of that. I was there when your Jesus died." And I just got sick to my stomach, hair in the back of my head curled up. I thought, that could be true. They never die. He may be lying, but he could have been there at the death of Jesus. And I realized how powerful these things are. And so at another point, and I used to do this, I used to yell a lot, making them think somehow that I was stronger by yelling at somebody or a demon. And I come to realize how stupid that was. I don't do that anymore. But we were going back and forth. We were kind of doing a volley there. And I think my pride got in the way again. And I'm giving him all kinds of verses about how he was defeated, so on and so forth, and that he couldn't harm me or whatever. And there was a pause. And he says, "How about I send Moloch to your house?" And all of a sudden, again, talk about a sick feeling, brother. It overwhelmed me. And within a matter of seconds, our home began to shake like an earthquake. Pictures falling off the wall. Cat flying through the living room. And you just say, this doesn't happen. This can't be real. It was very real. My wife and I are not game players in any sense of the word, and we experienced it. My wife, as a matter of fact, said, "My God, Greg, what is happening to us?" And I said, "I don't know, but I'll tell your audience right now what works every time if you're real with God." I had it happen when a girl nearly stabbed me to death down in Vidalia, Georgia, and it happened when this house was shaking, and I did not know what to do, but I had learned this much. There's something about the name of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I just
Amen.
Said, in the Amen. Name of Jesus Christ and through his shed blood, you stop it right now. And everything stopped right then and there. So it started in a matter of seconds. It ended instantly.
Amen.
And Ben Fisher and I looked at one another and I said, "Wow, we've got, I don't know what we got for sure, but I know in our relationship to Christ, we got the real thing, babe."
Amen. let's take a quick phone call. Let's talk to Joe. Right here in West Virginia. Joe attends our fellowship, and he and his wife have a spiritual delivery ministry of themselves. Joe, come on in. Got to hurry, running out of time.
Thank you, Butch. One question I have for your pastor friend that you're interviewing tonight, and I don't know if it's happened to him, but it's happened to me. I talk about spiritual warfare or deliverance, and I hear people, especially the Baptists, come out and say, "Well, Satan's in hell, and he's bound in chains, and he can't harm you." Have you ever had that happen to you?
I've had it happen. It's not true. No. I doubt that Satan has ever bothered you, Joe, or our preacher Butch here, or me. I don't think we're important enough to get Satan's attention. He can only be at one place at a time, unlike our God, who's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Satan cannot. So I tell people, I doubt Satan's ever been around you, but he's got some powerful minions who are around you. I believe every city, every church, every family has spirits assigned to them to go to war. I'm so excited about the theme music here listening. I've never heard this before about war. My book is called Invisible War and the Saints, and we are in a war, but some people, it's like they're on a cruise all the time instead of a battleship in life. This is serious business.
Well, you know, a lot of people are on like what they call the love boat. I teach one thing when I do deliverance and I work with people and prayer with people, you know, I always encourage them to come back because I've seen a lot of deliverance ministers pray with people, cast out devils or get tormentors away from them, and they never do follow up or never do teach them spiritual warfare, which I do. And then I teach them things like power praying, and I teach them things like how to walk in the Holy Spirit or how to seek out the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I don't mean what the Pentecost teach, but how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And a lot of people don't teach that. Churches are soft
about that. The biggest thing is
that I've had one pastor say to me one time when we were talking about it, he says, well, that's reverse theology. You're not going to talk about Satan and his kingdom, what he's doing. You're just going to talk about the four Gospels, because I used to be a Lutheran. And the four Gospels of the church?
Yes.
Wow.
That's sad. And to me, that is a cop-out. You know, when it comes to confronting your number one enemy, I tell audiences all over America, when it comes to confronting your number one enemy in life, Satan and his demons, it is obvious that most Christians have not even made it to kindergarten in the school of spiritual warfare. God says you perish for a lack of knowledge, and do not be ignorant of his devices, and we are ignorant. And pastors, to me, it's a cop-out. You need to know what basketball team, what army is going to fight the opposition and not know everything they can possibly know about them. And yet we just go through life and say, oh, we got saved, and now let's read our Bible, let's go to church, let's talk to people about Jesus. And yet when these things happen, man, I've seen guys. I just worked with a gal down in Johnson City, Tennessee, and she had heard, her sister had heard me on the radio and said, you need to call him and see if he can help you. And she called, and I said, what's going on? She was in a church of 600 people, I think it was, and the Baptist preacher there. She went to him just to share some things about demonic trouble in her life, and his response instantly was, let me stop you right there. This is way beyond my pay grade, and I have no idea what you're talking about or how to deal with it. You need to talk to somebody that works in this arena, and it is not me. I don't want to work in it. I don't know anything about it. And I tell people again, for a pastor, are you kidding me? This should be a tool in your toolbox, just like everything else. You're doing construction, come out with some new tool, have it there for when the enemy confronts. And I have a chapter in my book, what are you going to do when they come for you?
By the way, we're down about 4 minutes. Yeah. Greg, I want to copy that book. Joe, very quickly, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say this much, that folks, what this pastor is talking about and what I've been talking about, it's genuine. I know that I can clear a room out. In fact, Pastor Butch knows one time I did deliverance in a Bible study, and no one expected me to do that. I just started praying with someone and just started into the deliverance, and it's real. I mean, it's genuine. It does happen. And the person I was working on was a Christian.
Can I add something here? Very, very important. To my knowledge, my pastor colleague, Dr. Copley, will say the same thing. We have worked with hundreds and hundreds of people, and the majority of them have been Christian. If you're working with somebody who's unsaved, you can't have that. How would you hold deliverance when the Holy Spirit's not there to confront the enemy? He will go out and bring seven back more wicked than himself, and the last state of that person's worse than the beginning. And so I try to get, somebody comes to me and they're not sure of salvation, let's go there. We talk about salvation. Then I will help you with your demonic problem. But
Good
you're
point.
Not going to be able to confront the enemy. It's not going to last. It can't last. So, yeah,
Good
I'm with
point.
You there. I agree 100%.
All right, Joe, I got to jump. A good call. Thanks, Joe. I hope to see you this Saturday. All right, down about the last 3 or 4 minutes here, brother. And very quickly, I know what the answer is going to be. Most churches invite you to speak, or do they ask you to leave?
Yeah, I've been told by many. Don't talk, if you're coming to my church, heard a little something about you, brother. Don't talk about Satan or his demons. I'm not going to do that. I'm too old. I've been around the block a few times. And if that's your case, you don't need me. I want to go where I'm needed. You don't need me till you need me. And that's true of all. I don't need a mechanic until my car starts screwing up. So that's when I need a mechanic. I think I told you off the air that I had a pastor friend who was attacking me down south here. And he was just coming on really strong until one of the deacon's kids got up on the conference table in front of the whole deacon board and the preacher started spewing forth some green stuff. And at 11 o'clock at night, guess who they called? That guy that they'd been attacking. Can you come down here and help us with this woman? So, yeah, that is so bad. Let me get a plug in, if I may. InvisibleWarAndTheSaints.com. This book is just going out by the hundreds all over America. Only came out last October, and they're just kind of shocked at the response of the people. People are buying them by the dozens and giving them to other people, and I'm just so excited about that. So now, I want to get that in. InvisibleWarAndTheSaints.com.
If they don't have a computer, a lot of folks don't listen to this program. How much are they? Can they order them through me, and I'll see if they get delivered?
Yeah, how much of the books? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. How much of the books?
Yeah, I think they're $24 or $20, somewhere in there. I don't know. They're through Southwest Radio Church Ministries in Tennessee here. That's the oldest radio ministry in the world, by the way, 91 years old. And they are really promoting our book everywhere they can. So
it's going to help. A lot of folks don't have computers to listen to my program, so I'm just trying to find a way to get the book by phone or whatever.
Right. Well, they can contact SWRC. That's Southwest Radio Church in Bluff City, Tennessee. I can get you that information. Maybe you can share later. I'll get you a number there, okay?
Yeah, send me a phone number when you can, please. And I definitely want to copy that book. I'm gonna text my address to you. I want to copy the book. And, brother, I tell you what, this has been beyond interesting, and we got a lot more to talk about, but we're down about the last 30, 40 seconds. What do you want to say in closing?
Yep. Yeah. Well, again, I just pray for people, and I pray that you will know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Nothing to be scared of. Satan and his demons ought to be scared of you, my Christian friend. Don't let him bring fear and lies into your life to frighten you. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You take it for what it's worth. God had it in his word. It's true. Take the truth and move forward in this war, if you will, this invisible war. I thank you so much, Pastor Butch.
Oh, it's been a blast, brother. I'll be back in touch again, okay?
That'll be great. I'd love to do it anytime.
I appreciate you. Maybe one of these days you can make it out our way and you can do a Bible study with us. Maybe we can do it by Zoom sometime and join us. Because I want
this
That'll
be fine. We can work all that out. We're working on a one-day seminar across America, and we're going to be doing these. So I'll be in touch. You be in touch with me, please.
God bless, brother. And tell your wife she's in her prayers, too, okay?
I appreciate that so much. Love you, and thank you.
All right, love you too, my friend. Folks, I don't want to say, I mean, what a powerful testimony. I don't know why most churches are so ignorant of Satan and his devices. It breaks my heart. I did a teaching some months ago on the kingdom of Satan versus the kingdom of God. And folks, it's real. We love you. By the grace of God, see you tonight with the guest Michael Van Hoos and another great broadcast there. Good night.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.